Okay, Rabbi Yisai, let's begin this week's Parashas Pinchas. Okay, Rabbi Yisai. This week is Parashas Pinchas. Pinchas, most people think about Pinchas, they think about Korbanos. They think about the second half of the Parasha, and they focus very much on all of the Musafim. Many Sifrei Torah, I remember my father had a shul, and many of the Sifrei Torah, the Parashas Pinchas was worn out. The klaf of the Sefer Torah for the most of the parasha was crisp, but the klaf for Parashas Pinchas was always worn out, because this is what we learn from every Rosh Chodesh and all of the Mo'ad. And the Korbanos go all the way to the very, very end. But the truth is, the Parsha is jam-packed with a lot of powerful Yisoidos before we come to the Korbanos. Now, also before we begin, this also is very unique this week, because on a regular Shabbos, we do not have an opportunity to lain the Korban. On Rosh Chodesh, we lain Uvroshei Chodshechem. On all of the Moadim, we lain a special Maftir. Why don't we lain on Shabbos, take out a second Sefer Torah, and lain the Musaf of Shabbos? Okay, this is a big topic. Why don't we do that? So what is the most popular answer? Because it's only two psukim. And two psukim is not enough to lain, to take out a Sefer Torah. What's the big deal? So we'll lain Rosh Chodesh also. We'll lain the Korban Tamid. So the answer, so why can't we learn? We can learn the Korban Tamid. What would be so terrible? Okay, so there are different answers. There are a number of answers why we don't do it. Okay, I don't remember the answers now, but there are different reasons why we don't every Shabbos take out a second Sefer Torah and lain Uviyoyim HaShabbos, the Musaf of Shabbos. But this week is unique, because this week we actually do lain Uviyoyim HaShabbos. And not only do we lain Uviyoyim HaShabbos, we lain it as a chelik of the Parsha itself. We don't lain it as just an appendage. On the regular, when Shabbos falls down in Rosh Chodesh, we lain the Parsha. Oh, we also lain Rosh Chodesh. On the Moadim, we lain the Kriyas HaTorah for the Moadim, and we also lain the Musaf. This Shabbos, we lain the Musaf of Shabbos, Bo Bayom, as an Iker Chelek of the Kriyas HaTorah. You never have that. You don't have that. Any of the Moadim never get that distinction. If you think about it, all of the Moadim, you know, we have to take a step back. We lain Shabbos about Shabbos many times. Parshas Bereishis. Vayechulu Hashemayim v'aretz v'chol tzva'am. In the Aseres HaDibros, we Shomar Yom HaShabbos l'kadosho. There are many, many psukim all over Chumash telling us about the mitzvah of Shabbos, and we learn it Bo Bayom. That is absolutely true, but that is a command of observance. A korban is different. It's an avoda. There are mitzvahs and there is avoda. A mitzvah, you observe the mitzvah. Doing avoda is a higher level. You actually sacrifice an animal. You actually give up life to Hashem. There is an added dimension that comes with bringing a korban, doing an avoda to Hashem. In addition to the observance of the mitzvah, today is Shabbos, and these are the laws, and we should remember what Shabbos is all about. Actually putting into action an avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, acknowledging that today is Shabbos, by bringing a korban, obviously everyone could appreciate, has an entirely different dimension to it. All of the times that we bring korbanos, we don't read from a Sefer Torah primarily as the kriya of the avod. It's secondary. Now you'll tell me that's not true 100%, because Rosh Chodesh, on Rosh Chodesh we actually do lain only one Sefer Torah, from one Sefer Torah, and we mentioned Rosh Chodesh. Okay, that's there. So there, it's also so you do indeed see that you do take out a Sefer Torah specifically for the day. Okay, that's a good point. But generally on the Moadim, we don't. It's always secondary. We lane about the Yom Tov, and then we take out a second Sefer Torah to refer to the Moadim. This week is a unique week, because in this week, the Shabbos, we're laning about the Avodah of Shabbos on Shabbos itself. It gives Shabbos an entirely different dimension. And, you know, it's the Shabbos before the 3 weeks. This is the first Shabbos of the 3 weeks. We have Pinchas, Matas Maaseh, and we have, these are the Sholosh de Poronusa. These are we're beginning now this Shabbos, a series of 10 special Haftorahs. After Tisha B'Av, there are the Zayin de Nechemta, and these 3 weeks are the what's called the Gimel de Poronusa. Very harsh Haftorahs, dealing with, we lay in this week from Parshas Matos. Don't be confused in what it says in the Chumash. This week we lay in Divrei Yirmiyahu ben Chilkiyahu min HaKoyenim Asher Banosai Spiris Binyamin. It's a very, very harsh Avtoira. A very harsh Avtoira where HaKadosh Baruch Hu recruits Yirmiyah to give Musar to Klal Yisrael. It's the first of the three of the Gimel de Poronusa, three Haftaras of punishment, a warning of severe punishment for Klal Yisrael if not going to be observed the Torah mitzvahs. And it's interesting that the first of the Gimel de Poronusa coincides with the Kriyas HaTorah of Shabbos, not just Shabbos, the Avoda of Shabbos. And why am I saying this? Because this year is a very unique year. This year, Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, and therefore we delay the observance of the Tainus until Sunday, and this year is also a Shemitah year. What does Shabbos and Shemitah have in common? Seven, okay, that's not what I was thinking about, okay, that's true. What else does Shemitah and Shabbos have in common? Emunah. Shabbos, we all know, was spoiled in America, Baruch Hashem. But on Shabbos, if you don't come on Saturday, don't come on Monday. Don't show up on Monday. If you're not going to work on Shabbos, how are you going to survive? How could it possibly be that you have an assignment that the work you have make parnasa? How are you going to feed your family? How are you going to feed yourself? Shabbos, no malacha. Isser malacha. How? It takes a lot of courage. A lot of courage to go up against the world, when the whole world, they work on Saturday, and you decide, no, Shabbos LaHashem, I will not work on Shabbos. And the threats and the consequences are severe, even today. I mean, today, unfortunately, it seems like in the society, we're going backwards a little bit. America has become very hostile towards religion. Religion, this administration, is a very, very, very hostile towards religion. Religion has a very, very little weight anymore in a lot of matters. And you tell someone, I'm not coming up Friday, I have to leave early because of Shabbos, we're going backwards, it's becoming a big problem.
Also becoming hostile against democracy.
What?
We're
not on there right now.
Okay, but it's Shabbos, in order to be fully observant of Shabbos, it requires emunah b'Hashem. I'm not going to work, I'm not going to take care of myself, I'm going to rely upon Hashem. This year is also Shemitah. What is Shemitah about? V'chi sarmu b'ashana hashishis, ma noichal b'ashana hashvis. What are you going to eat? If you're not going to work the land in the seventh year, what are you going to, how are you going to survive and get into the next year? So Hashem says, don't worry, v'chivis yisbirchus ilucha b'ashana hashishis v'yassos esatrua l'shloish hashanim. The common denominator of Shabbos and Shemitah is emunah, faith. Tisha B'Av this year is Emunah. What is Tisha B'Av all about? It's about Churban. Rachman al Son, when there's a Zman of Churban, when things are not going well, and there's Churban and there are Tzaras and Klal Yisrael, it's very difficult. Okay, that's an understatement. And how do you survive? Emuna. You have to have emuna. This year on Tisha B'Av, when we reflect upon all of the tragedies of Klal Yisrael, which is not just the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni, Tisha B'Av is a day of reflection on tragedy in general. All forms of tragedy, it encompasses every type of tragedy, and the key ingredient a person needs to survive difficult situations is emuna, to have faith in Hashem. There's a reason why this happened, and a person has to accept and go forward. This year, that emuna is attached to the emuna of Shabbos. If I'm not going to work on Saturday, what's going to be on Monday? What's going to be tomorrow? If I'm going to go up against a world that has absolutely no value of religion, God, and Shemitah, a whole year, v'shavas haaretz, Shabbos laHashem, a whole year not to go out. The world, they think we're crazy. You're not going to go plant. You're not going to go work. You're not going to go work your land. Shabbos, Shemitah, Churban. Each one of these three demands emunah. And this year, we're coming to a Tisha B'Av, which is the Chut HaMeshulash of emunah. Three dimensions of emunah are all intertwined this year. The emunah that Shabbos demands, the emunah that Shemitah demands, and the emunah that Churban demands. And as a hakdama to Tisha B'Av, we now have started the Bein HaMitzarim, starting with Shavuos B'Tammuz through Tisha B'Av, the 3 weeks. And the 3 weeks are not just, you know, the 3 weeks represent a tekufa, and the three parshiyos, the three Shabbosos, we read special haftorah to reflect the Puranos, two from Yirmiyah, one from Yeshaya. Each one of these haftorahs is extremely severe in its severity of Avaz Horus. And it's not a coincidence that not to be taken for granted that as we begin this process of the Bein HaMitzarim, which culminates on a Tisha B'Av, Shechalihi Yois B'Shabbos, in a year of Shabbos, begins with a Kriya Satoira of the Avoda of Shabbos. Uviyoim HaShabbos. We read the Korbanos, and all the Korbanos, which stands out the most, is the Musaf of Shabbos, which we don't ever give it much special attention during the year because it's only two psukim, Tircha D'Tzibura, other various reasons why we don't lay in the Haftorah a second Sefer Torah to read Shabbos, but we do it this week in the most prominent way of reading about the Avoda of Shabbos, not just the mitzvah of Shabbos, the Avoda of Shabbos of bringing the Karban Musaf on this day in the Iker Kriya Satoira, as, you know, a reminder that we're coming now soon to Tisha B'Av, which is unique in that it's a Tisha B'Av Shechal Lihiyos B'Shabbos in a year of Shabbos. Because these elements of Shabbos Kodesh and the Shemitah, which are concepts which demand with intensity emuna from Klal Yisrael, is the exact ingredient we need to be successful in dealing with the emuna that Churban demands from Klal Yisrael. Okay, now let's go to another idea. We have over here this week's parasha, Pinchas. So first I want to point out something which is just a basic idea, very simple, basically Rashi. Rashi says, the first Rashi in Pinchas, that Pinchas did an act of zealotry. He had tremendous, tremendous chutzpah, Pinchas, to get up.
How do you define kanolus or zealotry? I'm struggling with
it's
that.
Very hard to define it. You take the law as a vigilante. You take the law into your own hands. he gets up, there's an assembly that challenged Moshe Rabbeinu, and they were very upset, and it was all part of the aftermath of Korach. Parshas Pinchas really, to a degree,
of Bilam.
I'm sorry, you're right, you are correct, of Bilam. Well, we also bring it over here, Korach also, to a degree. Dosan Vaviram. I think it's really both. It's not only. I think you're saying something very important, Rabbi Chol, is that Parshas Pinchas, the opening story of Parshas Pinchas, really is a continuation of two events. If there only would have been one event, it's not likely that the story of Pinchas would have happened. It was because the story of Korach was a story of an uprising, an insurgency, an uprising against Moshe Rabbeinu. Bilam was an opening of Gilui Arayos, was a breakdown of the moral climate of society, where Bilam opened up promiscuity in Klal Yisrael. He broke down the moral standards of Klal Yisrael. If we only had a story of Bilam, where there was a breakdown in the morality of Klal Yisrael, would it have happened that Zimri would have stood up in public to Moshe Rabbeinu and challenged Moshe Rabbeinu to diminish his authority and respect? Not likely. There would have been a terrible tragedy where people are now going to be nichshol in Gilui Arayos. People have that, it's in their eyes, the whole inyan of Arayos has been diminished. And Moshe Rabbeinu will go about his business. And the people who are doing these averos, no, they're doing averos, and they're destroying the moral climate of Klal Yisrael. But Moshe Rabbeinu is limited what he can do.
It's threatened,
but Moshe Rabbeinu is not really, it wasn't a threat to him. If we only had the story of Korach was, you can challenge a leader. So if Moshe Rabbeinu would have been challenged, okay, there would be a challenge. But what happened over here in this story of Pinchas is really a combination of two, it is the collateral damage of two episodes. The episode of Korach and the episode of Bilam. Bilam, at the end of the day, opened up, we threatened the morality of Klal Yisrael, and Korach threatened the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu. These two elements have come together in a story where a person, a Nasi, by the name of Zimri, takes a non-Jewish woman, a princess, and literally does an Avera with her in public, challenging as a challenge to Moshe Rabbeinu. He commits the ugliest thing you can possibly do in public as a challenge. Moshe, who do you think you are? Who permitted you to marry your wife? And therefore, I'll do whatever I want, and I'm telling the Jewish people to follow in my ways. So the truth is, this parasha, Parashas Pinchas, is the result of two parashios that are coming together. And what happens in this story? Pinchas takes the law into his own hands, and he murders. He takes out Zimri and Cosby, two very distinguished people who were of world renown. Zimri was one of the Nesim of Klal Yisrael, and Cosby was a princess from Midian, and he murders them. Can you imagine the consequences? So and now what do people say about him? So Rashi makes it very, very clear. Lefisha hashvatim mevazim oisoi. In the mainstream media, he got enormous criticism by the Jews. This person is a nutcase. He's a meshugana. This is not the way you do things in Klal Yisrael. You don't take the law into your own hands and murder, execute a prince and a princess. It says explicitly in Rashi that his reputation was finished. Pinchas, they were already establishing committees, and there were hearings, and they put him. There were lynch mobs out to get him, and all the they will lock him up for life, solitary confinement, if not already execute him in the most gruesome public way. That's what it says in Rashi. Lefi shohoyu hashavotim mivazim oisoi, and they would say they had the media editorials wherever you look. Harisen ben puti zeh. They right away didn't call him Pinchas. They called him the son of a priest who would stuff cows for idolatry. Shepitim avi imoy, the father of his mother, agolim kevs la'avoidas chichavim. You see what he did? V'horak nosi, shevet mi'Yisrael. That's what it says. He had the worst possible reputation in the entire Torah. There was probably not a Jew in the history of Klal Yisrael that had a worse reputation than Pinchas. And yet the shock is, the Ribbono Shel Olam spoke up and he made a statement. Moshe didn't have it so bad. Ben Amram, but Moshe did not have such a... But Moshe Rabbeinu, when he suffered from criticism, it was nothing compared to this. This was... Right, they said nasty things about him, but he had it even worse. And yet what happened? This is a shocking thing. The Ribbono Shel Olam spoke and said, you know something, all of you people, you're wrong. Pinchas was right. It's an incredible, shocking revelation, because in society, we really have to ask ourselves, we all have opinions. And many times we are passionate about our opinions, especially in today's day and age, when there are so many different things going on in the world, in all different dimensions, and everyone is entitled to their opinion. Or as I think, which rabbi said, everyone is entitled to my opinion. and everyone has their opinion, and everyone is thoroughly convinced that they're right. And you know something? You learn from this story, you never ever know. You never know who's really right. Here you have an episode in Jewish history where the entire Klal Yisrael lashed into this person. How dare you? The media gave him the worst report. The whole world, Klal Yisrael, lefi shehoyu hashevotim. What does that mean? Klal Yisrael. Why are we calling Klal Yisrael Shvatim? I don't know, but it says the Shvatim, they were dead.
Other Shvatim,
okay. But the whole Klal Yisrael was up in arms against this person. And the shock is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're all wrong. You're all dead wrong. Pinchas is a tzaddik. What he did was necessary. It is correct. And the takeaway from this story is not so much what Pinchas did, Kanois. The takeaway is, how wrong we can be. The greatest lesson learned from Pinchas is not that don't go tolerate, you know, people that at times it's proper to be a vigilante. At times you have to take the law into your own hands. There's a need, there's something, there's a value to kanos. And today, I mean, I don't think anyone today is gonna say you should be a kanoi today. Today we live in a different world today and things are different. But we appreciate that there are situations which demand what is called extra legal activity. Okay, that's the common takeaway, that there are times when you have to break the rules. Okay, in the Holocaust, okay, for one of the worst averos you can possibly do in Judaism is to give a bribe. The worst thing you can possibly do is give a bribe. During the Holocaust, the only way you survived were through bribes. Okay, they raised money with Mechal Shabbos in America to collect money. The Gedolei Hadar went in taxis and Shabbos from shul to shul to collect money for what did he need the money for? To bribe the Nazis. To bribe. A bribe? You don't take bribes. It should be a soine betza. You know, there are times when you break the rules.
Bribing all through our history.
What?
You've been bribing all through our history in Galilee.
Exactly. But you go. But when times of peace, you give a bribe, you're finished. You're finished. You're mechutz l'machaneh. there are times when the situation demands you do extra legal activity. So that's the takeaway. That's the takeaway from Parashas Pinchas. That's not a takeaway from Parashas Pinchas. The takeaway from Parashas Pinchas is, the first Rashi, wow, I was wrong. Forget about vigilanteism. The takeaway is, how could it be? How could it be that I was wrong? I really believed that this is the emes. Whatever that may be, whatever it may be, there are so many different dimensions in life, so many different elements, so many different situations in all matters of Jewish, all Jewish politics, in non-Jewish politics, in this event, that event, and the end is, and I was thoroughly convinced with evidence and proof that I was right, and I could not understand for the life of me how could there be another opinion in this world. And at the end of the day, you're in shock. I was wrong. I was wrong. And that is a very important lesson. No matter how thoroughly convinced you are, you know, if there's another Orthodox Jew who disagrees with you and has another opinion and has another belief, and he also has done his research, you know, you never know. Never ever trust yourself in thinking that you know it all and you have all the information, because that is the takeaway of Parashas Pinchas. The Shvatim, the whole Klal Yisrael, severely criticized Pinchas for his behavior, and they called him names. They defamed him. They said the nastiest things you can possibly say about him. And yet, at the end of the day, the Ribbono Shel Olam spoke up and said, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen. He's a tzaddik. Let me relate his holy yichus, where he comes from. Good stock. I'm making him a Kohen. He will serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Not you. I think Chazal say most of the Kohanim Gedolim in the history of Klal Yisrael came from Pinchas. Line of Kuna, not from the line of Kuna of Aaron HaKohen. Pinchas, he's a holy Jew. All of you people, you are mistaken. And no, learn this lesson. Don't ever, ever think it's my way or the highway. You need Hashem to authenticate your belief, your derech in life. There are other Jews out there. Respect them, because only Hashem can tell you who is correct. Okay, now another interesting this topic. You know, we have over here the Hashem. Rashi explains in detail that HaKadosh Baruch Hu selected Pinchas, and he made him a partner with Aaron HaKohen to also be a Kohen. Rashi explains that until this point in time, the only people that were destined to be Kohanim and serve in the Beis HaMikdash were the descendants of Aaron HaKohen. Only Aaron and his children. Only they were to be to serve in the Beis HaMikdash to be the Kohanim. With this event, Hashem added to the Kohanim, to the roster, Pinchas and all of his descendants. Hinani noisein loy es berisi shalom. Because he was mekana de kanois, the kanai es kinosi b'saycham, he went, because he did Hashem, he acted on behalf of Hashem l'shem shemayim, he was given the bris of shalom. Okay, so now we have another branch of kohanim. Now the word, everyone knows that the word shalom in this pasuk is spelled with a vav, as it ordinarily is, but the symbol called the vav kitua. What is the vav kitua? The vav is slashed; it is broken. And if you look in the Sefer Torah, you'll notice that there is a break in the letter vav. So basically, it looks like a yud on top, and the low portion is still there, and there's a cut in the center. Ordinarily, I know there's a very big shail exactly how to make the vav kitua, how you're supposed to be out doing it. Ordinarily, if you would see a vav like this in the Sefer Torah, you would have to bring it to a sefer. There's something that's not right here. Is it possible? Is it not possible? But in this particular instance, this is the way it is meant to be. this is the way, the halacha, the Moshe Sinai, the way the word shalom is meant to be spelled in the Torah, to be presented with a vav that is slashed. And the question is why? Why is the vav slashed? I'll tell you the basic, the common answer. The common answer is there are two different types of peace. There is a peace that's called shalom, and there is a peace called of shalem. And when you have a letter, and in the letter there is a break, there is a connotation that this letter should be deleted. So if you want to delete it, so delete it. No, we don't want to delete it. No, you want to keep it. So if you want to keep it, so let there should not be a cut in the letter. No, we want to delete it. Make up your mind. Do you want to delete the letter or do you not want to delete the letter? We make a compromise. The way we present the letter Vav is in a fashion where there's a slash in the center, which connotes there are two different types of peace. There's a peace called Shalom with a Vav, Shalom, a Choylam, and there's another type of peace called Shalem, completeness. What's the chilik between Shalom and Shalem? Well, think of Shalom as a pot. What is a pot? A pot is a symbol of peace. Why is a pot a symbol of peace? There's water and fire. Do water and fire coexist? Impossible. There's no way you can put water and fire together. It doesn't work. So how then can you make a compromise to bring the two together? You put a slice of metal in between, a pot. So you put the water in the pot and you put the fire underneath. So the pot serves as a peacemaker. If you were to take away the pot and just have water and fire, one would overpower the other and you would have nothing. One would overpower the other. Either if there's a lot of fire, it would evaporate all of the water. And if there's a lot of water, then the fire would be extinguished. Water and fire cannot coexist. But if you put a pot in the middle, so then the heat of the fire goes into the metal and the metal heats up the water. You have hot water. You have a hot water, you have a cup of coffee right here, you have some hot water. You can make, so that is called shalom. Two completely separate items which are going to temporarily come together through a peacemaker. And then there is something called shalem. Shalem means whole completeness. What is that? That's, for example, a chemical compound. Let's say, for example, you take water and sugar, and you put sugar into the water. What happens? The sugar dissolves into the water, and now you have a new compound. If I'm saying it correctly, I don't know if it actually dissolves to the degree where you change the water, maybe yeah, maybe not. Maybe you can you filter the water from the sugar? I don't know, but make believe some type of chemical reaction where you take two different chemicals and you put them together, and they synthesize into one new compound. This is shalem. There is no barrier between the two. They become one entity. They become one entity. That's called shleimus. Okay? So shalom is where you have two completely separate items and they come together. They two completely separate items that come, but you need a peacemaker, shalom. But each one retains its identity versus shalem. So that's why it's spelled with a vav ketuah, to allude to the fact there are two different types of peace. What I just told you is the run of the mill, is the pashup shot. But I want to suggest to you something a little bit different. Aaron HaKoyen, there are two branches of kahuna after Pinchas. There's Aaron HaKoyen and there is Pinchas. They have very different styles. Aaron HaKoyen was known to be Oyev Shalom V'Roidev Shalom. He was a man of peace, gentleness. Aaron was not a kanoi. When they came to make the egel, you want to make the egel? Well, make the egel. He was passive. Okay, it's like certain people. Someone says to me, I don't give the Yetzirah any trouble. Whatever he wants, he gets. Aaron, they came, Klal Yisrael, we want to make an egel. You want to make an egel? Well, make an egel. Aaron's shalom, unfortunately, because of his nature of a desire to make peace, it can go to an extreme. When Aaron HaKohen died, Chazal said there were 80,000 young men who escorted him to his death. Who are these? And every one of these 80,000 men had the name Aaron. First name was Aaron. How could there be 80,000 people with the name Aaron? So Chazal say their parents were in divorce court. They were already negotiating how to divide the assets. They were all on the verge of divorce. And Aaron met with them, and he counseled them, and he made peace between them. And then when they agreed to remain married, subsequently they had a child, and in honor of their marriage counselor, they named their child by the name of their marriage counselor. I challenge you to do a study in America. How many people who have gone to a marriage counselor have chosen to name their child after their marriage counselor? People would probably name their child after their mother-in-law before they name their child after their marriage counselor.
Oh, yeah, but the rabbis.
What?
After the rabbis, yeah.
The rabbis are marriage counselors? No, the rabbi says you should go to a marriage counselor. When a couple comes to the rabbi and says, the rabbi, we're getting divorced, so the rabbi says, here, I have a very good marriage counselor for you. Go to the marriage counselor. I don't do marriage counseling, but I know...
They meet them in divorce court.
What?
They meet them in divorce court.
So 80,000 people name their child after their marriage counselor because Aaron HaKohen had a special talent of making peace. But unfortunately, when you make too much peace can lead to accommodating a person doing Avera. Okay? Too much peace can accommodate a person to do an Avera of let them build the eagle. Now there's a controversial mahalach in Kiruv today. Okay, there's a Kiruv organization that became a very big controversial, where Rachmana Litzlan, the child, Rachmana Litzlan is not doing well, and he needs some chizuk. How far do you go? How far do you go, you know, unconditional love? Unconditional love. How far does unconditional love go? Are there no limits? There is a group of people who mamish go to an extreme where unconditional love means you should actually help your children do averos, serious averos. And these people who do this, these are very, very good people. In these extreme situations, these are extreme circumstances, of course, they claim that it's necessary. It's necessary for certain types of situations where the parents actually assist their children do things that are mamish, terrible averos. Pay for it, help them do it. And there are other groups of people, the majority of people that are involved in this very painful type of situation where they promote unconditional love, but adkan, not to such a degree where you can actually assist a person with the goal of help bringing them back. Ultimately, later they'll come back by actually helping them do. They're very vocal and very angry at people who go to such a degree in this thing called unconditional love, ad kidei kach, to go and actually actively assist people who rachmana litzlan are on a very bad matzav to do averos with the goal, by helping them, it will ultimately lead to bringing them back to teshuva. Okay, so that's really illustrated here in this week's parasha. Aaron HaKohen was the Ish HaShalom. But unfortunately, that degree of peace led to Aaron assisting in Klal Yishol making the Egel Hazov. Uvion Pokti Pokatiti. Pinchas was added to the roster of Kohanim. Pinchas a Kanoi. He gets up with no permission, no Bezdin, no legal proceedings. He takes out a sword and he murders two distinguished people in the presence of Klal Yisrael. He does not tolerate nonsense, nothing. Violence, a kanoi in its full glory. If you have a kanoi in Klal Yisrael, like this is what the Kohanim do, we're not going to survive a day. You can't be a kanoi, you can't walk around the streets and just kill people. You can't do that. In Machal Shabbos, you walk down on Shabbos, go in Machal Shabbos, you go past a store, it's Shabbos! Are you Jewish? Yes! You torch the store, Shabbos, you blow it up, you put out dynamite, boom! You can't go like that, you can't live like that. You can't be such a, that there's a kanois that's not acceptable, there will be a churban in the world.
Vigilante justice.
You can't be a vigilante to such a degree. But on the other hand, if you're going to be an Oyev Shalom, Veroidev Shalom, like Aaron Akoyan, where did that lead? Look, on the one hand, it led to 80,000, he saved 80,000 marriages. But Mitzad Sheni, it led to the Egel Hazov. It led to the Egel Hazov. So what is the solution? Like everything in Judaism and in life, balance. Balance. There's a time to be a kanoi, and there's a time not to be a kanoi. And the Ribbono Shel Olam has now said, Aaron, I'm now coming to, Aaron already passed away, but Aaron's children now are leading the kahuna, and Aaron's children certainly are going in the way of their father. Now is the time to balance the kahuna. The kahuna needs a counterbalance. Checks and balances. And we must add this element of vigilanteism, if that's the right way you say it, of this taking the law into your own hands to the kahuna by adding Pinchas. And each one of you, Aaron and Pinchas, will counterbalance kahuna. There's a time to be nice, to be diplomatic, and there's a time to go to war. Eis Mulchama v'eis Shalom. There's a time to be polite and be nice, and there's a time you gotta step up to the plate and be very, very tough. I heard very recently someone was talking about going through a difficult time in business, and he said, what was my mistake? My mistake was I was too nice. The reason why I have all these problems now in my business and I'm suffering is because there were people in the business that I hired that I should have fired. I should have let them go. I just couldn't bring myself to fire them. So I let them stay on, and I tried and they find the solution by bringing other people to fill in. But the truth is these people they dragged the business down. They dragged the business down, and it was and I my rachmanis was not appropriate at that time, because now not just me who's suffering, many people in the company, everyone's suffering. When the company goes down, everyone suffers. It was no good for anyone, and not all the time is it proper to be loving and giving and caring. There's a time when you have to make hard decisions that are midas hadin. The kahuna in this week's parasha has been given a balance to save the kahuna. Aaron HaKoyein was oyev shalom v'roidev shalom. And now Hashem found his man. Hashem witnessed the vigilanteism of Pinchas, what he did, and now Hashem says, oh, I was looking for a good man. I'm looking for you. We've been searching for a person to add to the kahuna to counterbalance. And therefore, you can be added to the script. Hinani noisin lo yesbrisi shalom, the bris of kahuna. And now we can try to explain another mahalach of why there's a vav ketua. So we learned until now there are two types of peace. There's a peace called shalom with a vav, and there's a peace called shalem, completeness. There's a peace where each item maintains its identity, but they work together. And then there's a piece of where the two items come together as a compound, shalem. But there's another way to read the word, the word shin lamed mem without a vav. Not just shalem, but sha, the patach, shalem, which means to pay. Shalem yishalem hamavir es habeira. A person is irresponsible, and he does not, and he has a fire, and he doesn't guard the fire, and the fire goes out and causes damage, the Torah says, shalem, retribution. It's used in Tanakh often, the word shalem, in reference to there has to be punishment,
compensation.
There's a time of peace. Shalom, peace. Peace is a moichel. You cause me an avla, you cause me harm, I'm willing to overlook. More often than not, peace means to give up, to basically let go. You owe me a lot of money, I hate you, there's a fight, so we'll make peace. What's the peace? We'll make a compromise. I'll give up a little bit. To make peace, you have to give up. You're entitled to something. There's an entitlement. You owe me something. You owe me an apology. You owe me money. You owe me this. You owe me that. I'll make peace with you. Peace doesn't mean you have to give up. Money is owed to you. Money is owed to you. But more often than not, if you want to make peace, you're going to have to give in. You're going to have to give up something.
There's a shalem in the Chumash also, where Avraham, after the battle, before against the five kings.
Malki Tzedek Melech Sholem. Melech Sholem. Malki Tzedek Melech Sholem. So that's what we said before. That's a form of peace. That's a form of peace called being sholem with a komatz sholem. But I want to suggest something different. That it's not al tikre sholem, but shalem. Shalem yishalem hamavir es habeira. Shala means pay up. There's no mechila. There's no forgiveness. When you come to make peace with someone, more often than not, it means you have to give up something. We don't see eye to eye. I feel that I'm entitled to 100%, and you feel that you're entitled to 100%, and we're at a stalemate. So what do you do to make peace? There are many different types of peace, but what do you do to make peace? You know what? I'll give up 50%. I'm not going to give up everything, but for the sake of peace, I'll give up 50%, and you'll give up 50%, and that way we'll live with each other. That's one type of peace. That's not obviously. I'll give up 50%. So what is generally peace all about? You give up. I'm moichel. I am entitled to retribution. I am entitled to receive for payment. You owe me $1,000. I'll give up $500. I'm not going to demand. I'll be moichel. And then there is a time when no. Shalem yishalem. Pay up. You owe me the money. Pay me the money. No, that's not the word shalem. That's shalom. That is shalom. Malki tzedek melech
shalem.
Shtetz with a komatz, sholem. That word, that was the first idea that we said. That means peace, sholem, wholesomeness, completeness. There's a word shin lamed mem. If you pronounce it with a komatz, sholem, it means completeness, which is a form of peace. But there's another way to pronounce the letters shin lamed mem, a completely different way. That is shalem with a patach under the shin, which means pay me the money. Shalem yishalem hamavir es habeira. The one who kindled the fire and was irresponsible and allowed this fire to burn and destroy, he must now pay the damages. Shalem yishalem. In Tanakh, unfortunately, I cannot quote you now with chapter and verse, but there are many psukim in Tanakh where we talk about that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the day will come of retribution, when our enemies will get what they deserve. Shalem yishalem hamavir, will get what they deserve. Pinchas is the man of shalem. No nonsense. You did an Avera? We're not going to wait to go to Beis Din and have witnesses and have the media, the peanut gallery. the editorials, is he guilty, not guilty, and have a committee and have a hearing. I don't got time for all this nonsense over here. I don't got time for all this nonsense, years in court and litigation. You did an avera. Goodbye. whip, chop off the guy's head. Done. We're not going to sit around for years and make a circus out of this. Shalem. There will be retribution.
Accountability
right now. Shalem. Mitzat sheni. Shalom. Peace. Don't be so hot-headed. There's something called teshuva. There's a correction facility where they will bring about your correction.
There's
a process. There is a way of doing things that is peaceful and nice and kind and generous. Aaron is the man of peace. Shalom. Aaron holds the kahuna. The leadership of Klal Yisrael is, of Aaron's branch, is Shalom. Erech HaPayim, Hashem is everything. Hashem is there. Hashem has added into the equation of the kahuna of Pinchas. Pinchas, there's no patience, but Pinchas is Shalem Yishalem. There, when describing the kahuna, when now that Hashem has added to the Kohanim another branch, until now there was only one branch of Kohanim, the branch of Aaron.
Oh, please, disturbing the peace.
Yes,
Until now, there was only one branch of Kohanim. And that was the branch of Aaron, and it was called the Bris of Shalom. Now that Pinchas has been added, a Kanoi has been added to the roster of Kohanim, he is the bris of Shalem, retribution.
He's the army chaplain, isn't he?
He's not the army, he's not the chaplain, he's the army. He's the executioner. He's the executioner. The Mashiach Muhammad?
Yeah.
Okay, but here, this now it doesn't say he's the Mashiach Muhammad. He was a regular,
here,
he was... later on, because you only have one at a time. But most of the Kohanim Gedolim and Klal Yisrael came from Pinchas. Regular Kohanim Gedolim. Pinchas is the bris of Shalem. He's a kanoi.
Hashem wants it.
So what? When Hashem wants, of course. I mean, today no one's going to tell you to take hold of being a kanoi. You'll go to jail in a second. But obviously, this week's parasha is telling us that there are unique situations. So what is the combination? How do you capture the shleimus of the kohanim, including the bris, the aroins, contribution together with the contribution of Pinchas, the approach of Kahuna of Shalom with the approach of Kahuna of no nonsense, of immediate retribution of Shalem? You take the word Shalom and you split the Vav, and when you cut the Vav, that is an indication that there are times when there should not be a Vav. The Vav should be deleted. And when you delete the Vav, the word is no longer Shalom, but the word is Shalem. There are times when the approach of Aaron is correct, and there are times when Hashem demands in Klal Yisrael, skip all the legal proceedings and get the job done now with no nonsense. Shalem Yishalem Hamavir Es HaBe'era. So it's a Vav Ketua. The Vav that is complete, Shalom. Shalom Yelucha. That's what we focus on, 99.99%. But don't forget, it's a brisi of Shalem, not Sholem. I told you, the common Mahalich, and you're going to hear this Jewish, they're going to say there's Shalom, and there is Sholem. Like Malki Tzedek. Malki Tzedek Melech Shol. Because he's wholesome. Yerushalayim, he brought together the two halves of the city into one city. There was a city called Yireh and a city of... that's a different... But by Mount Deary, the word is Sholem. Shalem is another variation of peace. That's the common mahalach. There are two types of peace. There's a piece of shalom, and there's a piece of shalem. I want to suggest to you a drush different. There is a shalom, peace, and then there is shalem. There is violence, milchama. Eis milchama, the eis shalom. Pinchas has brought into the kahuna milchama. Aaron has brought to kahuna oyev shalom v'roidev shalom. And we must not forget that one without the other is dangerous. Everything in this world, b'li yoytzei min haklal, needs balance. Even anova. Even humility. Humility, there is me'oid me'oid hevei shval ruach. Go to an extreme. But Yechazal say, go to an extreme, but not to the ultimate extreme. There should be a shminis shebishminis, a shtikl mashu gaiva. Otherwise, they'll just roll, they'll step all over you with nothing. Everything in this world always needs the ingredient of its contrast to allow it to develop in a healthy way. Let me show you with one last vart, which is a good vart for the, this is something very, one last vart, it's late, so I'll tell you one quick last vart. I like this one very much. Very quick, short, very, very short. Moshe Rabbeinu, in this week's parasha, was presented by the Benoi Slavchot. And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what to do. The Benoi Slavchot comes to Moshe and says, Moshe, we also want a chelik in the land. And Rashi there says that the Benoi Slavchot, why do they want a chelik in the land? They had a tremendous chavivos for the land. A chavivos. And their father died, and there were no sons, and now the Yerusha would go to a different shevet. So they said, why should we be why? There are no sons. Let also get a chak. So Moshe did not know what, he did not know the answer. Moshe did not know what the halacha is in the situation where a man dies and does not have any sons, only has daughters. What happens to his estate? So Moshe had to say, I don't know. It was an embarrassing moment for Moshe.
He has no children. Where does it go?
What?
He has no children. Where does it go?
Then you have no children. Then it goes to the brother. Then it goes to the brother. The process is
Meferish.
Then it goes to the grandfathers. Everyone in Klal Yisrael has a relative. The only one that has no relative is a ger. But every single Jew in Klal Yisrael marries a big expert in this. Genealogy. Mayor, he traces everyone's yichus. He sits the whole day on the computer. He figures out who's related to who. He can make a map of all the graves in the cemetery, how they all interact with one another. Okay, but everyone has a relative. So very quickly, Moshe did not know the answer. And it appears in Chazal that Moshe was a bit embarrassed to a degree. How could it be Moshe, Hashem told him, called her cool? He didn't know the answer? Know the answer? How could you not know the answer? How could Moshe? So Moshe says, you know, I have to take this on consultation. I got to go talk to Hashem and know the answer. Chazal said, why did Hashem do this to Moshe, publicly embarrass him? Because Moshe, when Yisro came on the scene, And Yisro encouraged Moshe to appoint assistants. Moshe says, "Hadavar hakosheh yavi elai. If all the easy stuff, you guys, you can take care of. But when it happens that you are presented with a davar hakosheh, a difficult matter, bring it to me." Hashem didn't like that. Hashem felt that it was a shtickel gaiva. What do you say? Dover HaKosh, you're better than everyone else. You should have rephrased it in a different way. So Rashi on this week, I'm telling you, Chumash Rashi. Rashi says this on this week's parasha, on this pasuk over here. I read it, we're out of time. So what does it mean, Dover HaKosh?
That was Yisro's.
But Moshe then repeated it. Moshe, when he repeated it, he said a little bit different. Yisro said, Dover HaGodol. Dover HaGodol, Moshe said, Dover HaKosh. You have to look in the past. It was said twice. But Moshe said, Dover HaKosheh. Hashem didn't like that. He didn't like that. That's not fitting for you, Moshe, the most humble of all men, to talk like that. On his madrega. So therefore, this was payday. This is a punishment for Moshe. Moshe was publicly humiliated. Humiliated, he did not know the answer. Now the question is, now when we take the word kosher, kosher means difficult. It sounds like, you know, for this, it's like rocket science. You need to know all these mathematical formulas, very difficult. Is this really so difficult? is this, when you put this question, a man dies, he doesn't have any sons, only daughters, I don't know what to do. This is the payback for Dover HaKosheh. It's not a Dover Kosheh. I don't know. It's not, why do you call this Dover HaKosheh? If this was a matter that involved sophisticated calculations of when is Shabbos on the moon? What time is Shabbos on the moon? Okay, then you'll say it's Dover Kosheh. It's complicated. You need a brain. You need a very big brain to figure out. This is not kosher. This is, I don't know what the answer is. Why do you call this kosher? So you learn over here, Mordechai Yisait. This week's parasha.
Never came up before.
What?
The question never came up before.
So, but why is it called kosher? It's not kosher. It's not difficult. It's, I don't know. It's a dover that's nelam. The word kosher has a connotation, the way we simply understand it, it's very sophisticated. You need a brain that's able to make sophisticated calculations. And that's not, doesn't seem to fit the description here. So the answer, you learn from this week's parasha, a very big chiddush. Rashi I don't have time, Rashi over here says that the Bnei Tzlofchad had a very deep chavivus for the Eretz Yisrael.
Right.
They were the Bnei Yosef. And Yosef's children, they had a chavivos. How do you know that Yosef? Because Yosef wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Right before the Bnei Tzlofchad, Hashem says to Moshe, you're not going into the land. And this was a sting. This was an extremely painful issue in Moshe's life. Painful. That because of the chait of the Meimeriva, because you did not sanctify me, you're not going into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe prayed for Eschanan 515 tefillos. Rashi in this week's parasha says that Moshe honestly thought that Hashem forgave him, because he let him already go into Bnei Gad, Bnei Reuven, Chatshev, Manasseh. He was on the Eva Hayyad. Was already, and he thought for sure Hashem was Michael him. And he davened, he thought, and he says, no, you're not going, no matter what. This caused Moshe Rabbeinu enormous grief. Kosher doesn't mean, you learn from this week's parasha, kosher does not mean mathematical calculations. You need a couple of doctorates to be a scientist to understand exactly how the mRNA spike protein works. Anyone know how this works? Anyone here is such a genius to explain the prote of how all of this works? All of the chidushim, how all this works? Who knows this stuff? You gotta be a genius. Gotta be a genius to know this type of stuff. That's not what it means, kosher. This is not a difficult. This is simple, ABC. But it's a very painful issue. When you talk about a woman comes to me and says, Moshe, I want a chelek in Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe looks at her and says, you're getting a chelek in the land, and I'm not? You're stabbing Moshe in the heart. When a person comes to present a question that is so, so sensitive to Moshe, this was the ultimate sensitive issue to Moshe. Why, Hashem, can't I have a chelek in the land? Why can't I go? It was the most sensitive issue to Moshe. And here, five women show up and they say, Moshe, our father died. He has no sons. We want the land. We want a chelek in the land. The land is chaviv to us. And Moshe looks at them and says, fellow women, you women, I also want a chelek in the land, but I'm not getting it. Why should you be better? Why should you be better? I'm also not getting it. Moshe was no gebed over here. That's the kosher. You know why Moshe cannot paskin on this Shiloh? He's no gebed over. You want a chelek in the land? Too bad for you. I don't get a chelek in the land. If I don't get a chelek in the land and I have to live with it, so you also live with it. Accept it. I accept. The people who are very mean, you find some people very mean, are the people who themselves went through the same situation. Sometimes it's the opposite. Mekotze lekotze. There are people that have empathy because they know what it's like, and there are people that are cruel. I went through it, so you go through it. You also suffer like me. Moshe says, I'm not getting any land. I deserve it. You don't even deserve it. Who do you think you are? You're only a woman.
Say that.
You don't deserve it. B'makom sheyesh bein ein lebas klum. Who do you think you are? You want to make an exception? Oh, this is Dove HaKoshe. That's the title of Dove HaKoshe. Dove HaKoshe is not, you know, calculation, sophistication. Dove HaKoshe is emotion, is conflicts, is when you're conflicted. When you're conflicted, then you can't paskin. Moshe says, I'm never conflicted. Moshe said, Hadove HaKoshe Yavi Eli, you know why? In other words, what was he really telling the people in the Klal Yisrael? If ever you have a situation where people come to your court and you're conflicted, recuse yourself and bring it to me, because I am above all this. I went to Shemayim for 40 days, 40 nights. I'm never conflicted. What you learn from this week's parash is he was telling the courts, you're always going to have situations where people are going to come to your court and you're going to say, we can't paskin because we own stock in the company. The judge, we can't paskin because my child needs you for a job. Or because this and that reason, we want to go do business. So come to me. Come to me. I'm not conflicted. I'm mufka from all of these in Yonam. I'm never conflicted. Moshe, you're not conflicted. You're also conflicted. Don't ever think you're better than anyone else. Now comes this man when Moshe's conflicted. Moshe here is severely pained by the fact that there's not a chilek in the land, and now people come and they say, we want a chilek in the land, and really they're not entitled to it. So Moshe has to acknowledge, I'm conflicted. That's kosher. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, we'll stop over here. Thank you for listening to Morning Shabbos.
The Alkavit
and the Ramah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank
you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Levaya has already been held in Lakewood, and the Kavura will be, they're going to, they're sending the mace to Eretz Israel Sunday morning.
Oh, wow.
So the Kavura will be Ar HaMenuchos.
When did he pass away?
He's the only guy.
Last night, or sometime yesterday. Last night.
And he lived in Lakewood?
Yeah, for the last year. Where are they burying him in Israel? Ar HaMenuchos.
How are you?
I call back. We had a whole discussion about it before the thing. Can you say the
does it say that phrase?
What?
Kosher?
Yeah. Dove HaKosher. And the Benos, by the in Parashas Yisro.
Oh, Yisro.
In Yisro. And then Rashi quotes the whole story over here.
I didn't see that.
Let's see. First of Parashas Yisro. Parashas Yisro. Parashas Yisro. Parashas Yisro. Parashas Yisro. Parashas Yisro. Back over here. So here's the first part.
Shaftu. Kol hadavar hagodol.
Yisros.
Yisros. Hagodol yaviu elech. Kol hadavar hakoton yish pituhe. Okay. Vayishma moishul kol chosno. Vayas kol ashoma. He selected people and he told them the Shaftu has this with Moshe's words. The kol is as hadavar hakosheh. All mefarshim in. So how can we change? How can we change the word from godol to kosher? So the common answer is by Yisro. What's called? What is the difference between the word godol and kosher? Godol means a lot of money. If you have a shayla that comes to Beis Din worth $10 million,
yeah.
Oh, $10 million, you go to Beis Din. But it's a very easy shayla. It's very easy. It's a clear cut. The halachas of Shulchan Aruch, pasuk. What do you need to go to Beis Din? Bargain. $10 million. Yes, $10 million. You go to Moshe. Moshe says, No. If it's $10 million and it's in Shulchan Aruch, you decide yourself. If it's one penny, but it's not in Shulchan, it's very, very complicated. It's a very complex halachic shiloh. Koshet, bring it to me. So Moshe was criticizing his father-in-law. It's not which court case is high profile. It's which court case is a complicated halachic issue. By Yisro, the simplest issue, if it's high profile, has to go to Moshe. And if it's a few bucks, even no matter how complicated, let these dayan, who cares? So no, that's not Torah. Torah is the Emes. So you would think that this was a milo that Moshe said the word kosher, because Moshe was correcting his father-in-law that said godol. He corrected him. No, kosher. Rashi, he has tremendous chiddush. Unbelievable. See, divrei Torah and minim b'mak mecha v'ashim b'mak mecha. Tana parash Pinchas. B'nai salafchad. And he tells them, v'atvar l'vnei Moshe, he complained, l'ma yigora! V'yakrei Moshe es mishpatan l'vnei Hashem. I don't know the answer. Pasuk, hey, Rashi, nis'alma halacha menu, v'kanifra. Here was payday. Al shenotal atodo loymar, he took the crown for himself. Va'adova asher yiksha mikem takrivun elai. He's quoting pasuk Devarim, which is really the same thing as quoting, because he repeats it later in the asher yikosha mikem. So that's Devar Acher. Okay, that's another job. So that's all. Saying kosher. Why was it kosher? It's not money. It's tsar. It's I'm conflicted.
Good.
Have caution, you can never trust yourself. That's
so do you want to see the person's
okay.
picture?
You don't know. I never ever ask for that.
No, I have. That's what I'm asking you. You want yes or no? So that I just want to.
If you
it's
already
positive,
have it.
It's positive. But.
If you already have it, I wouldn't say no. I would never ever ask a girl. I will not date
okay,
you.
Okay, but I have it. That's not, so okay.
Okay.
I'll send you both.
Is she, you'll send her out or
I'll send you both.
Was she married before?
No.
Yeah,
just,
no,
she's
so
not,
just never. I don't have to ask the second question. Does she have children?
No. You have to ask from what we're learning. Exubis, you got to find out.
No, she married. Yeah, she's divorced. Does she have children? That's the second question. So here you touched on her, so I don't have the second question. But maybe you should ask the second question.
Is that messy? You have to ask all these questions.
People ask me sometimes, were you married before? I say no. Do you have children? They're so used to the routine. Yeah. You never know. Yeah. You never know, right? All different crazy stories.
Okay. I'll do this.
Maybe you can only afford one thing at a time.
No.
Maybe try to see if it doesn't work. You can't.
Yeah.
You
I think you're correct what you say. I also run into that. But if you sometimes from WhatsApp, you do.
Okay, good.
So I think
wow,
so
one shot.
Push this open.
Why WhatsApp? I cannot forward more than one thing at a time. I don't know why.
I think it's just the way you set it up. Yeah, I'll give you an example. If you push on this, if you push forward, you can do more than one. If you push,
it could be the iPhone is different. I have an Android. Android is not as advanced as the iPhone.
They're great tools, but they can take up a lot of time too. So I call in the troops when I need help. I don't like to get
I believe that it's a very big blessing for us that we, so you know why?
Because if the goyim didn't have iPhones, they spent the whole day assessing, you know what they were doing with their time? Plotting and kill us.
No, Dennis, it was interesting you said, but I just sort of read the back page of that Rabbi Avigdor Miller pamphlet they send out every week. I don't know if you see it in your
show. Of course.
So I like the back page is always the best. Sometimes he's great.
This stuff is not in the public consumption.
Right, but they did.
They're crazy.
But anyway, back page.
Yeah.
Baruch Hashem, that's the way I understand Mashiach. He said when Mashiach comes, everything's the same. You have to take the same transit tests. You got to take clean up your. But now, and you're gonna have a TV, and you're gonna watch TV. Kosher TV is going to be the halachas. You're gonna see the rabbi. You'll talk to them. Whatever it is, no commercials.
Why everyone has their pocket today? The device. All the kids. You have 100 any show that ever existed.
Gabbai, and he was having a shul, a goddessman. I said, he was going there, he took a camera there to throw. And I said, you have to get a smartphone if you want to have a smartphone. So he listened to me, he went this. Because he said, okay, you need it a little bit, for certain, just to get to the transit.
Yeah,
it was, you need it. You know, so someone showed him how to use what he wanted to use. Because there are things available.
I had a smartphone for a year. I didn't even know what it was.
I don't use all the features.
Now I'm addicted.
Hi, Harris. Thank you. Have a good show, brother. Again, good. I'm going to
Mishnah Kolodny, are you there?